Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 20. Yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deva yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate tane vam yato devo tatma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate tane vam vido bedo tatma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya deha yoga viyoga cha samsrutir na nivartate Vaishnavis yatane vam vido bedo yata atma viparyaya yoga cha vidana nivartate yatane vam vido bedo Varya Deha Yoga Vyoga Cha Samsutirana Nivartite Yata As An Evam Vidaha of a person who has no knowledge about Atma Tattva and the steadiness of the Atma in his own identity despite the changes of the body. Bedaha, the idea of difference between body and self. Yataha, because of which Atma Viparyaya, the foolish understanding that one is the body. Deha Yoga Viyoga Cha, and this causes connections and separations among different bodies. Samsritihi, the continuation of conditioned life. Na, not. Nivartate, does stop. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. One who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul, Atma, becomes too attached to the bodily conception of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life. Otherwise, one is liberated. Please repeat. One who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul, Atma, becomes too attached to the bodily concept of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life. Otherwise, one is liberated. Purport. As confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Savaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktirat hoksuje ahaituki apratiyata yayatma su prasidate. The word Dharma means engagement. One who is engaged in the service of the Lord, yato bhaktirat hoksaje, without impediment and without cessation, is understood to be situated in his original spiritual status. When one is promoted to this status, one is always happy in transcendental bliss. Otherwise, as long as one is in the bodily concept of life, one must suffer material conditions. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. The body is subject to its own principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. But one who is situated in spiritual life, yato bhaktirat hoksaje, has no birth, no death, no old age, and no disease. one may argue that we may see a person who is spiritually engaged 24 hours a day, but is still suffering from disease. In fact, however, he is neither suffering nor disease. Otherwise, he could not be engaged 24 hours a day in spiritual activities. The example may give it in this connection that sometimes dirty foam or garbage is seen floating on the water of the Ganges. This is called Nirodharma, a function of the water. But one who goes to the Ganges does not mind the foam and dirty things floating in the water. With his hand, he pushes away such nasty things, bathes in the Ganges, and gains the beneficial results. Therefore, one who is situated in the spiritual status of life is unaffected by foam and garbage or any superficial dirty things. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalasa givastasu jivan mukta sauchite. A person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, and words is a liberated person, even within the material world. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187. Therefore, one is forbidden to regard the guru as an ordinary human being. Gurushu nara matir nara ki sa. The spiritual master or acharya is always situated in the spiritual status of life. Birth, death, old age, and disease do not affect him. According to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, therefore, after the disappearance of an acharya, his body is never burnt to ashes, for it is a spiritual body. The spiritual body is always unaffected by material conditions. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, one who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul, Atma, becomes too attached to the bodily concept of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life. Otherwise, one is liberated. So normally, you know, from the spiritual point of view, you know, it's not good to be overly attached to family, society, and nation. But, you know, there's also the principle of yukta vairagyam, anasaktasya vishayan, yutarha mupayunjata, nirbanda krishna, sambande, yuktam vairagyam uchate. That means pure devotee can use different material things, such as identification with family, society, or nation, in the service of Krishna without material attachment. And we see sometimes Srila Prabhupada would do that. You know, he would appeal to his American devotees' sense of being an American, you know, something in their minds wonderful and special. And of course, also from the standpoint of his preaching strategy, Srila Prabhupada had a special role in mind for America. And, you know, he said, for example, in a conversation with Ambarish Prabhu and a Catholic priest in Detroit in June of 1976, he said, so America is the leading nation of the world. If you work on the principle of Bhagavad Gita and train up your people, it will be ideal state and example for the whole world. And he also wrote in a purport in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, sixth canto, chapter 7, text 13, purport. It is advised that the American people reject their mistaken advancement in civilization. They should take advice from the spiritual master, the representative of Krishna. If they do so, they will be happy, and theirs will be an ideal nation to lead the entire world. So sometimes, you know, Srila Prabhupada would appeal to this sense of nationalism and try to engage it in the service of Krishna. Another time, he was in Mayapur, West Bengal, and he was speaking with some of his American disciples, such as Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was talking to them about how he wanted the temple of Vedic Planetarium constructed. And, you know, they were making plans how to do it. And Srila Prabhupada told them, so make something like American, which is wonderful for the whole world. So you are American, you must do something. So he would, you know, be prodding his American disciples. So you're American, do something wonderful. In Tehran, in August of 1976, Srila Prabhupada said, that was my policy from the very beginning, that if the Americans accept, then my mission will be acceptable. And that is being done gradually, and I am insisting that preach in America vigorously. If America accepts, then the whole world will accept. That's a fact. Although America may be fallen, the ideal is American everywhere. So this is his analysis of why America has become so prominent in the world. He said, maybe fallen, but somehow or other, everywhere people take it as the ideal in many places. So he said, why is that? Because they've got money. Kali Yuga means money. If you've got money, then you have got culture, you've got education, you've got everything. So he was a little bit realistic about his understanding of America. He understood it's not the great place everybody thinks it is, really. From the Vedic standard, it's quite fallen. But because it has some opulence and power, people pay attention to it and they consider it to be. I mean, so many people want to come to America, get their green card, their citizenship. It's still like that. So Srila Prabhupada would take advantage of these things and use them in devotional service. It was part of his plan for spreading Krishna consciousness in the world. So that's one point. Another point I was reflecting on in reading this purport was his description of how one should regard devotees who may have some disease or something like that. And he said it's like the foam or garbage on the waters of the Ganges. You know, you push it aside and you still take advantage of bathing in the Ganges, which is spiritually potent. So like so many things that Srila Prabhupada says in his purports, that comes from another one of our scriptures. It actually comes from the sixth verse of the Nectar of Instruction. And, you know, if you look at that verse, you'll see the verse says, being situated in his original constitutional position, such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. So we can see, you know, that sometimes the bodies of devotees may be affected by these things, by disease or in the material concepts, other kinds of imperfection in appearance or disability, something like that. But one will appreciate that if such a devotee is constantly engaged in devotional service and is pushing on, despite whatever conditions may be there in the body, that is, that devotee is to be regarded as spiritual, you know, performing devotional service on a very high platform. So another point that I was reflecting on in this purport was, you know, the final words that, you know, Srila Prabhupada wrote or dictated in this purport. It was giving instructions. It was, you know, he was dictating these purports towards the very end of his manifest physical presence with us in this world, and he was giving instructions to his disciples how to deal with his body. According to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, therefore, after the disappearance of an acharya, the body is never burnt to ashes, for it is a spiritual body. Spiritual body is always unaffected by material conditions. So the normal procedure for an ordinary person is that soon after death, the body is burnt. You know, that's the Vedic system. There's some cremation. And along the sacred rivers in India, like the Ganges at Varanasi or other places, you can find burning ghats. You know, once in India, somewhere near Mayapur, I was walking along the banks of the Ganges chanting my japa. I was just kind of looking down, and at a certain point I realized I had wandered onto a cremation ghat. You know, they were all ashes and bones and things lying around. So that is the normal system, but for an acharya like Srila Prabhupada, you know, that isn't done. The body is put into samadhi. So another thing I was reflecting on in this, in reading this verse and purport, is that the verse is being spoken by Kamsa, who is a demoniac person, but, you know, he's giving this spiritual knowledge about the difference between the soul and the body, and he's saying one shouldn't be too attached to the bodily concept of life, you know, to family, society, nation, and so on, which is all very Krishna conscious in one sense. But what it points out is that just understanding that the soul is different from the body is not really sufficient to come to the highest stage of spiritual awareness. You know, as we see throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, there are even demons, asuras, who have this concept that the soul is different from the body, and they even preach this philosophy, you know, just as Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. But that's, although it's a necessary step in the practice of Krishna consciousness, it's not sufficient in itself, just to have understanding. I mean, it's very helpful. It's better than the understanding that is very common in the world today, that we're just machines made of molecules, you know, as, you know, the great saint of the modern materialistic demons, Richard Dawkins, says, we are machines made of molecules. We are robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. So it's a better understanding than that, you know, than this purely atheistic kind of materialism. It's better to understand, yes, that there is a soul that's different than the body. But as we're seeing here, even a demon like Kamsa accepts that. And elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Hiranyakashipu gave a similar talk to the relatives of his brother Hiranyaksha, another great demon who had been killed by Lord Vishnu. So when Hiranyaksha was killed, his sons and his wives and his mother, Diti, the mother of the demons, they were lamenting his death. And Hiranyakashipu was preaching to them that, no, you shouldn't be lamenting like this. After all, the soul is different from the body. The body may be killed, but the soul isn't killed. And for a great warrior like Hiranyaksha, it's actually a great thing, you know, that he was killed while fighting his enemy, Lord Vishnu. And he, you know, he gave detailed instructions about how they should see that the soul is different than the body. And he told previous examples like Yamaraj appearing to the king Suyagya after he had been killed. Yamaraj appeared as a little boy to give instruction to the relatives of the king. You know, again, making the same point that why are you lamenting that this king Suyagya is dead? No matter how much you lament, you're never going to bring him back to life. But, you know, the soul is eternal. It goes on. It'll take birth again. But just that kind of knowledge really isn't sufficient for the highest levels of spiritual realization. Beyond the soul is the super soul. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Hridesh Arjuna Tishtate, Brahmayan Sarva Bhutanam, Yacharudani Mayaya. Yeah, within the body, there is not only the soul, there is the super soul, and it is the super soul who is actually guiding the machine of the material body and making it move. If the super soul doesn't want it to move, it won't move, even though the soul is present. You know, just like right now, you know, I say, move my hand, and my hand moves. But I'm actually not moving the hand. Anhakara vimudatma kartahami dimanyate. Only under false ego does the soul conclude that actually I am the doer, I am making the body move. The reality is that if the super soul and his demigod agents weren't making the body move, it would move even though I'm desiring or willing it to move. And someday it will happen, I'll will it to move and it won't move because actually I'm not the controller. So one has to understand more than that the soul is different from the body. One has to understand what the soul really is. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastan indriyani prakritishtani karshati. One has to understand that the soul is a fragmental part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. There is a Supreme Controller. I may imagine that as a tiny spirit soul, I am a controller, but you know, I cannot stop the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. That can only be achieved by Krishna's mercy. So that higher understanding is lacking in Kamsa. So although he's saying something that's correct, you know, the soul is different from the body, that's not the ultimate complete understanding of a devotee of the Lord. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Sura Prabhu.
American tendencies, so much so there's a point where Srila Prabhupada was noticing the Sankirtan newsletter, and the Los Angeles community had defeated the Radha-Damodar party, which was always winning in those days. And Srila Prabhupada wrote to the leader of the Radha-Damodar party, Tamal Krishna Goswami, that now I see that Los Angeles is number one and you are number two. How is that? And then Prabhupada wrote a letter to the Los Angeles community that now you're number one and Art Radha-Damodar is number two. As soon as Tamal Krishna Maharaj finds out, he will have heart failure. So Prabhupada engaged us in our American competitiveness and trying to give each other heart failure.
Yeah, I've seen that still goes on in the BBT. Sometimes I hear the different phone calls being made during the marathon. Oh, to different temples. Oh, did you know somebody, this other temple is doing this or that? So I think it still goes on, continuing the tradition.
And there's still heart failures.
Okay, Bhrigupati.
Thank you, Prabhu. It seems like burying a body as opposed to cremating it is a way of showing some special respect, and that's why the body of the pure devotee is buried as opposed to cremated. So I guess one question is, if it's spiritual, though, why even bury it? You know, and where did the burial idea come from? Second part of the question is, who will decide that? Like, you know, in Prabhupada's case, everybody's in agreement. Yeah, sure, Prabhupada was a pure devotee. His body should be buried, obviously not cremated. What about, like, now, in ISKCON now, there'll be different devotees passing away. Who will decide whether their body should be buried or cremated? And third part of the question is, in the West, everybody gets buried. So is that like an imitation? You know, you think there's some sort of historical link there, and at some point they just started imitating that idea of India, where the, you know, elevated people get buried as opposed to cremated?
Answers are, I don't know. as far as one part of the question goes, it's... I mean, here Srila Prabhupada himself is giving the instruction. And obviously it was relating to him. So I think there have been cases of spiritual masters leaving their body where they've given different instructions. Some have asked that they be cremated, and some have been placed into samadhi. But that's an issue for, you know, the authority structure and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to decide if it becomes an issue. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada says acharya here.